Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, Disarming the Powers and Authorities of Darkness.
From Colossians 1, verse 9, nine through 14, Apostle Paul is writing from one of the prison, that he has now been placed in. And it is amazing to me, he's writing from a prison that the people of God would remain free forever. So everything that he's writing in this text, it is that we would be free forever. So Colossians, verse 1, verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We have delivered us," this is the main text that I want you to see, "who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom also we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Let me read that again. "Who have delivered us from the power of his darkness and have transferred into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom also we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." One more time. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son." Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few moments, God, make me articulate, and speak, oh God, your principles. God, let me, God, release your truth. Let me say, oh God, what you said to me, oh God, in secret, Lord. What you said to me in prayer, God. What you said to me in revelation, God. Let me speak, oh God, clearly, concisely, plainly, that we would never be bound again. Thank you, Apostle Paul, for writing to us. And now give us an ear to hear, Lord, what the Spirit is saying to the church. Give us a ear to not be deceived in this last age, God. Give us a spirit, oh God, to work while it's day. For night is soon to come, and no man is to work. So speak today, Lord, and let our world be so lit, God, that we will never walk in darkness again. We thank you. We glorify your name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Thank you, minstrels. It is Apostle Paul's desire that we would forever walk in the light of Jesus Christ. He writes to the church at Corinth and he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new." It is Apostle Paul, it is Christ's desire that we would walk free forever. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and 17, he says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and with the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty." Not only are we a new creation in Christ, but as we continue to walk for Christ or with Christ, we are then liberated forever. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. John chapter number 8 and verse 32, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So it is this new creation in Christ. It is this walking in the newness of life, and then it's the obtaining the knowledge, the revelation, the word that God would give us to cause us to be free forever. That is plain, that is simple, that even one writer said a fool would not err. But because there is a disconnect somewhere with us understanding that we are new creations to obtaining the truth that makes us free, somewhere along the line we are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. What we don't know could very well kill us. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have entered into a different kind of hour. I pray y'all can hear what I'll say today. We've entered into a different kind of hour. However, in entering a different kind of hour, the choices remain the same. Blessings or cursings. Life or death. Freedom or bondage. Although we're living in a different kind of hour, what the writer said is absolutely true. There's still nothing new under the sun. The choices remain the same. Blessings or cursings. Life or death. Freedom or bondage. And it has everything to do with understanding that I am a new creation in Christ. It has everything to do to understand whether now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is liberty. It has everything to do with, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I don't know if you guys understand this. The enemy works overtime to keep us in atmospheres and environments that will cause us to maintain our freedom. He works overtime to keep us out of environments where there is information that can make us better, oh God, managers of our money, that can make us better managers of our relationships if we're married, make us better parents if we have children. He tries his best to keep us out of them kind of environments, and he wants us to be in our environments and atmospheres where the works and the powers and the authorities of darkness do great work. And if we're not careful, Minister Reverend Ernest, we will like the atmospheres that hurt us, and we will shun the very environments that'll keep us free from ever. Ask your neighbors and neighbor, are you listening? The enemy is, he studied you. He knows you very well. LaTanya, if Bishop Noel Jones were here, he would say, the enemy knows your proclivities. He knows what you like. And he knows the very thing that will make you no longer concentrate on seeking the kingdom first and go after something that is intended to bind you up forever. And this is why I'm on this. After he bind us forever, he then goes after our children. And while we're trying to get out of entanglement, he's stealing, killing, and destroying our children. And we don't even know where they went. When did they get 18 and leave the house? And so we must understand that in Christ, I am a new creation. Somebody said to me, in Christ, I am a new creation. Come on, say, now the Lord is in me. And where the Lord is, there is liberty. Come on, say it real loud. Say, I know the truth, and I'm going to be free forever. Somebody put a hallelujah on the end of that. The enemy works overtime to keep us out of environments and atmospheres where truth is going to be dispensed to cause us to be free forever. The choices are the same. Blessings, cursing, life, death, freedom or bondage. I like what Joshua said. Me and my house. Me and my house, we choose blessings. Me and my house, we choose life. Me and my house, we choose freedom forever. I share the truth that I'll share today. It is for our peace. It is for our safety. It is that our children, 24 under specifically, would remain free all of their lives. We must understand, and I'll go a little deeper now, we must understand that it is getting darker and darker. And I finally understand my favorite scripture. Proverbs 4 and 18, I finally really understand it. We are living in an hour. It's getting darker and darker. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor to neighbor. You might not be paying attention, but it's getting darker and darker. Some of the stuff that I see on the news, I wouldn't even dare repeat in church anymore. It's getting darker and darker. And I would lose hope if I didn't understand that it's getting darker and darker so the light can become brighter and brighter. It is getting darker and darker. Your Bible says evil men are going to wax worse and worse. But the path of the just shines brighter unto that perfect day. Joel chapter number 2 says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is at hand, a day of fierce darkness and gloominess, a day in clouds and thick darkness as morning spread upon the mountain. But a great people are strong. There have never been the light, neither have there been ever before it, even for successive generations. So it says, as it get darker, there's supposed to be a people that are shining brighter and brighter. We are that people. I don't care how dark it get. I don't care how evil deeds men begin to perform, our light ought to be getting brighter and brighter. If you get a chance, I won't read it for time's sake, but Job chapter number 12, verse 12 through 25, it really describes what happens when it gets darker and darker. And verse 25 says, they grope in darkness without light, and he make them stagger like a drunken man. Whenever it gets darker and darker, and we're not shining brighter and brighter, verse 25 becomes a present truth. They grope in dark without light, and he make it them stagger like a drunken man. There are three thoughts that I want you to understand before I go into this chart that I want you to etch in your mind forever, so you'll make sure that you'll stay away from the places that I'm going to describe. But most importantly, you can become specific in praying for someone that you're going to see in one of these spots that I'll describe. Multimedia, I'm ready for my key thoughts. Thought number one, and you guys really need to pay attention now. Thought number one. Satan and his workers of darkness always work in reverse, opposite to God. Satan, key thoughts now, should be the first slide. Satan and his workers of darkness always work in reverse or opposite to God. Whenever someone tells you that they would rather do opposite of what God's word says or what God has prescribed, you know you're now dealing with somebody of darkness. I don't care who they are, and I need to say this real loud. I don't care what their title is. Satan and his workers always work reverse or opposite to God and his kingdom. Satan loved to call good bad and bad good. He works opposite or reverse to God, and this is very important, to God's kingdom. He calls bad good and good bad. He deconstructs, go to the next slide, he deconstructs the normality of life. I don't want to throw any stones at glass houses this morning, but I need you to hear this. He loves for your house to be turned upside down, because God is a God of peace. He loves for drama to be on your job, because he knows you guys are not going to be productive. So you have to find where is the one full of drama, because that's normally the one full of the devil. And I don't care what their title is. I don't care what their position is. Anybody that constantly create drama, I guarantee you somewhere there is an imp, there is a devil, there is a demon in possession of them or in control of them, and somebody got to cast it out if we're going to have peace in here. Somebody's got to cast it out if we're going to have peace in here. Now, I'm going to go ahead and go out there, y'all. I don't care if it's little Johnny and he four. Somebody got to cast that devil out of little Johnny for your house going to have peace. I don't care if this is Tyrone, acting in Tyrone Senior's demon that keeps a house in all the way turned off. Somebody got to play hands on Tyrone Senior and cast that demonic out. You will never have a normal, peaceful life. You will never be able to come home and just sit and eat and have dinner and be content. Let me give you these three thoughts again. I want to back up multimedia. Satan always works opposite, reverse of God and his kingdom. He always calls good bad and bad good. Ain't that so cute? Isn't that so nice? Now, she looks like a thought at three. Thought, whatever y'all call that crazy stuff. She looked like that at three. And somebody trying to call it cute. That ain't nothing cute about that. I like 3 years old to look like a 3 year old. He's sagging and he can't even buy no pants. But he gonna tell you how he wear his pants. Maybe in your house, but not in my house. I tell my children often, I bought everything in here. He who holds the gold, okay, y'all ain't living long enough. He who holds the gold, I'm going to help y'all, makes the rules. I'm going to say that again because I know I upset somebody. It ain't nothing cute by no little girl, 3 years old, look like she's 20. It ain't nothing cute about that. Ain't nothing cute about that. But Satan loves calling bad good. And he loves calling good bad. He deconstructs the normality of life. Somewhere, let me sidebar real quickly to try to do some marital prevention, healthy marriage, healthy house. Somewhere your house is supposed to hit a groove. This is what we do on Monday. We do Bible study on Tuesday. Now, Satan gonna get it that you're too important in life now that you can't turn to Bible study. But somewhere I'm talking about Christians now, y'all. I'm talking about people that love God. Somewhere you're supposed to get a normality. On Monday we read. On Tuesday we do Bible study. On Wednesday, little Johnny do soccer. On Thursday, we do a rest and retreat. On Friday we have Bible and family night. And then Saturday Sunday we do church. Somewhere your life should hit a normality. But what Satan loves to do is that there is never any normality. I let my children know real clearly, real. I ain't running y'all around that y'all play basketball, y'all play football, y'all do the chess club, and then I can't go to church. Okay, y'all can look at me like that. I'm on the warpath. I'm off to after some stuff because now the parents are bound, and now the children says I'm gonna get the children because their parents don't even know what's right and what's normal about life. That somewhere your house is supposed to hit a normality. This is how we do life. Why is this important? So whenever they go outside of here, when they are invited into atmospheres that don't look right, they need to know, oh, I need to get back home. We don't do life like that. I can't hear y'all saying that. Satan loves to deconstruct the normality of life. He'll have you like that little animal on that wheel, and you really think you're going somewhere, and you ain't going nowhere. But me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to find the normality for my household. And this is how me and my house is going to function. And some of you men need to put on some big boy pants. Yeah, y'all ain't got to say nothing to me. God, sometimes you got to put your foot down and say, this is how it's going to be here. I know, I'm not scared, y'all. Y'all already learned that. Y'all been, man, no, somewhere. I'm talking about when you got foresight, when you are a provider and you are a guider and you are a protector. I tell my house, ask my wife, ask my children, I say often, I'm trying to protect the welfare of this whole thing. Thank you. I got one person clapping. Thank you. The rest of y'all, I'm praying for you. I am the protector. I am the guider. I'm the visionary. Hey, I am the house band. I got to know what's good for my little boys and what's bad for them. I got to be able to look at men that are men that are effeminate, and men that will try to be pedophile. And I got to say, the buck stops here. You won't touch my child. Okay, y'all looking at me in that tone of voice, but it does not matter. The enemy loves to deconstruct the normality of life. And before you know it, you are being invited, and this is where I'll go next. There is a three-tier prison that the enemy has set up for the people of God. And that's everybody, all of humanity. And the first level, he have what Psalms 91 and 3 call constrictors. He have constrictors. The word constrictor, and that's Psalm, I won't go to all the scriptures, guys, because I got way too many. But in Psalms 91 and 3, it talks about the fowler. All right. The constrictor is defined as someone, amen, to draw or press in, to case or contract or to shrink, to compress, to slow to a stop of their natural course of development. To slow or stop from their natural course of development. If you ever get a time, if you ever get a chance, look up what fowler means, amen, in the Bible dictionary. The word fowler in the Bible dictionary, it talks about a professional bird catcher. A fowler is a professional bird catcher that catches one bird, and then after it captures that bird, it uses that bird to make noises. The fowler holds the bird in the air, and now this bird that's being held make noises, that other bird, and then there's people that shoot, that when this one bird constricts the one bird, and now this bird is making noise. Come to the party. Come to the hangout. Come do what we do. All right, he makes all that noise, and then when the other birds come, they got professional marksmen that it shoots all the birds that come. The snare of the fowler. There are levels, there are degrees, and there are movements. The first level is found in 1 Peter chapter number 1. You have a target soul. You have a target person. I'm going to use Ernest. Ernest, do me a favor, stand up. Whenever these powers and these authorities of a worker begin to work, they says, it's Ernest time. He becomes the target. First part of it. He becomes the target. He becomes the soul. 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says that the enemy goes about to and fro, seeking who he may devour. All right. Other scripture references I won't read. So Ernest becomes the target. He becomes the soul. And everything the devil is doing in his atmosphere and in his environment is trying to get him to come a little closer. Don't go to Bible study this week. You too tired. But something's going to be taught to keep him free forever out of the book of Romans that moves him from guilt to glory. And so because he don't hear the Bible study, he's going to be drawn just a little bit closer to the constrictor. He could have had the information in that prayer time that he was invited to, but because he can't get up to pray, he didn't pray. And he barely made it to work on time, and he don't realize that he just made a step closer to something that's trying to constrict him, to hold him up, that he will make noise to invite other people to be targets for excellent marksmen. Have y'all ever seen anybody that make a whole lot of noise, can really stir up the party, but when the party's over, it was a mess, it was a shame, it was a scoundrel what happened when the person constricted invited the other people to the atmosphere into the environment. First thing the enemy does is he targets a person. He targets a soul. Y'all better please hear me. Parents, because I'm specifically aiming this at 24 and under. Parents, you have to be on your spiritual guard. This is why one of the gifts of the Spirit that we've been given is the gift of discernment. Y'all better please hear me. We have to know when our child is now in the bullseye of the enemy. You can tell it, just smell them. You ain't been living long enough to know how to smell what's on a child. Thank you, Elder LaTanya. She's been hanging around her mama. She knows that all you got to do is smell a child, and you can tell that child is in the bullseye of the constrictor. He's trying to get them to a place that he can bind him and then hold him up. It is the parents' responsibility. Those of you that have, amen, young people that are under 24, it is your responsibility to tell them, ho, don't go over there. No. Don't hang out with them. Because in this, please hear me, the constrictor is saying, come over here. I don't have time to work this out, but there are atmospheres and there are environments that the enemy runs from. You know how when you worship and you pray, have you ever noticed that when you really worship, you don't feel any part of the enemy anywhere near you? Because he can't stand them environments. He can't stand them. But then there are other environments, come a little bit closer, than the enemy like, this is where I need you to be. Because see, I can hang out over here. This is where cussing goes on. This is where slander goes on. This is where sex outside of marriage goes on. This is where every evil work goes on. So now because you're in an environment, you're in an atmosphere, I can more easily work. When you're in this atmosphere, you don't even know I done hugged up on you. You don't even know that I'm up about your neck. And you partying and having a good time. And I'm about to constrict you that I may hold you up. I wish I could lift you up, but I ain't trying that day. I'm going to lift you up so then you make a lot of noise. Act like I'm holding you up. When I make noise, Anthony. So when I hold him up, now he making noise. Party going on. Party over here. Come on, Anthony. All right. Now I'm holding you up so somebody else can come. And I got professional people that's going to pick them off as you drew them. Wow. You remember that time you said you were going to do something you had no business? And Anthony came. And I'm just using you as an example. And Anthony came to your mind. It was called that noise was being made. And the constrictor wanted him. Be careful what you invite people to. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing here. It's going to get a little heavy in here. Ah, because you might be the one that's already constricted, and now you inviting other folks to your party.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.